Well, good morning again. I'm glad to see all of you. So this morning I had a little mishap where my computer that had my sermon on it was at my home. And I realized that at 10 minutes to 10, and so I ran home and ran back. So a little disheveled today. So please send me some grace. And will you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you for this gathering. We thank you that this community of people come together to find strength in you and find strength in each other. Please let whatever I say, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, somehow speak to someone here. I praise you, and I thank you for all the goodness that has come. Amen. Okay, so I got my clicker going. So and I have a sermon, which is good, somewhat written down. So I thought that I would start today with one of our favorite subjects in church: church drama. Right? We like to talk about church drama. So I would like to tell you a story of a church that I read about. That is not in the Crossroads District. Just so you know, I'm not talking about one of our sister churches, okay? Because you might think I am, but I'm not. So, in this church, it was found out through many questions that the treasurer of the trustees had spent $21,000 of the trustees' funds. And it came to be known because when questions were asked, the treasurer would kind of not answer the question and kind of dodge the question. And so it became more and more clear that something was going on that was not so good for the books. And so the church, they loved this person because she was a part of their family, their church family, for years and years. And they loved her. And they kind of didn't want to think to themselves, oh boy, it's her. But they had to come to terms with it, and so they did. So what do you think the fair thing to do? What do you think is the fair thing to do? What do you think the church should do? Restitution, I hear. What else? Find out why. I heard something in the back. Be forgiving. Okay. Well, so what the church decided to do was to get a mediator, and they decided to use restorative justice. And so the mediator came in and worked with the group. Now, restorative justice only works when the person who's been harmed, the person who has harmed, and the community around them are willing to work together. And so this restorative justice takes place only in community. So one of the pieces of restorative justice is that the person who has harmed gives their own sentence. They decide what their consequences are. And so in this setting, the treasurer decided that many things, I don't remember everything, but one was that she would pay it back in weekly or biweekly or something. She would enter counseling. She would start being counseled and find out why she did this. And one of the other things I remember is that she would do community service outside of the church. And if any of these things didn't happen, all the things that she set up that she said she would do did not happen, that the church would then press charges and she would go to jail. So they did this through Just Peace, which is a mediation, I wrote it all down, what is it called here? Well, I can't find it quickly, but it's mediation and, here it is, mediation and conflict transformation. So I just wanted to bring that to you in this setting when we're talking about choosing love. Our scripture today, a couple things. Luke, just to give you some context, the author of Luke and the community that Luke was in was a group that gathered. This was written between 85 and 95 CE, and the group gathered was Jewish, Gentile, Roman, and other. So I don't know if that means non-Roman, I don't know. But you can see that it was an inclusive group. And according to scholars, justice is a pervasive model in the Luke Acts scripture. So we find this as we read our scripture today. Now, one of the reasons that scholars say that there were Romans as a part of this community is because in other Gospels, the Romans were made out to be more bad guys than in this one. So that's one of the reasons that they're saying that. And I'll get to the reason that they say justice comes through over and over in the scripture. So our scripture today from Luke has layers and layers of love and forgiveness. As we move towards Holy Week, the remembrance of Jesus' end-of-life story, we are reminded of many of Jesus' teachings, especially forgiveness. Jesus calls out to God, asking forgiveness for all those around him as he is put to death. Jesus stays true to his teachings. He peacefully lets the crucifixion happen. As violent as it is, Jesus remains non-violent. He asks for forgiveness of others. Is this what we imagine a king does? Would a king just let things happen and offer forgiveness? Most kings of Jesus' day, and probably of our day, would have to come to power through violence. And not giving up power without violence. And yet the sign above Jesus said, "This is the King of the Jews." In this, God turns the human understanding of power on its head. One of the criminals repents and asks Jesus to remember him. Jesus accepts and forgives this man, this criminal. Jesus, the King of the Jews, is able to, has power to, forgive, even in his vulnerability. Wow, that is power. That is power. The power of forgiveness that Jesus taught was one of love. Forgiveness is not only healing for the forgiveness, it's not only healing for the forgiven, but also for the forgiver. Our brothers and sisters in Charleston offered forgiveness out of the love of neighbor and, I imagine, love of self. The words of our hymn today, I Choose Love, are so profound. In the midst of pain, I choose love. In the midst of pain, I choose love. In the midst of pain, sorrow falling down like rain, I await the sun again. I choose love. And when this happened, and I walked into the living room, I knew of the mass shooting in that church. I knew of that. But when I walked in and heard the people of the congregation forgiving the killer, I honestly just started to cry. And I just thought, wow, they are true Christians. And I'd just like to remind you of this.
Although my grandfather and the other victims died at the hands of hate, this is proof. Everyone's plea for your soul is proof that they lived in love and their legacies will live in love. Hate won't win.
Something. Really precious away from me. I would never talk to her ever again. I would never be able to hold her again. But I forgive you.
Tawanza Sanders is my son, but Tawanza was my hero.
Yes.
Tawanza was my hero.
Yes.
We enjoyed you, but may God have mercy on you.
We would like you to take this opportunity to repent. Repent. Confess. Give your life to the one who matters the most, Christ.
The penny doctor was my sister. And I too thank you on the behalf of my family for not allowing hate to win.
We have no room for hate.
But we have to forgive. And I pray God on your soul. And I also thank God that I won't be around when your judgment day comes with him.
The strength of faith of the people who had just had their family and friends murdered because of hate. They chose love. They chose forgiveness. All I can say is wow. Wow. I hope that myself and others here would also choose love. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not easy, but to choose love. Oh, because I always have a choice, I choose love.